As the impeachment inquiry ramps up over President Trump, conservative talk radio host Rush Limbaugh says America is in a cold civil war. Limbaugh and the conservative media have rallied around the president, but writer Brian Rosenwald says they also paved the way for a Trump presidency. He's the author of Talk Radio's America, How an Industry Took Over a Political Party That Took Over the United States. He joins us now. Welcome.
It's great to be with you, Jeremy.
So let's start with the person who is at the center of your book, at the center of talk radio, and that is Rush Limbaugh, who started his show, which is nationally syndicated, back in 1988. He was a charismatic guy from a small town in Missouri. What was his show all about at the beginning, and how did he become as big as he did?
In a word, his show was about entertainment. This is a guy who had been a DJ, gotten fired four times in the 70s, but he was, you know, he took the hijinks from those DJ times and he infused it into a topical talk show where he was sort of applying it to the values that he had gotten at the dinner table from his father growing up. And he starts in Sacramento in 84. He ends up getting discovered by Ed McLaughlin, who used to be the president of ABC Radio, goes national August 1st of 1988. And it's a show like no one had ever heard anything like it before. He's doing parodies, he's doing theme songs, and the reaction is instantaneous in markets. You know, it's something totally different from the staid world of talk radio at that point, where a lot of the hosts actually leaned left, but you didn't hear their perspective.
So he takes his show from, as you write, 300,000 listeners early on to 17 million in just 5 years. Even Rush Limbaugh was surprised by his own success. Here he is on the Christian Broadcasting Network just 2 years after the show launched.
I think one of the real reasons for the success of the show is the perception, and as you know, in politics, perception is oftentimes reality, the perception by real people that the primary disseminators of information in this country are shall we say, slanted to the left.
Now, in those days, who set the agenda? Was Rush Limbaugh getting talking points from Republicans saying this is the way we want to frame this? Or was this still just coming out of what he thought and what he believed and from his background of how he thought issues should be?
It was coming from what he thought and what he believed. You know, he would read the newspaper in the morning. He would joke, you know, I read the news so you don't have to. You know, I'm going to tell you what's important. And Republican politicians are slow to catch on. It's really only with the rise of Newt Gingrich and Dick Armey and Tom DeLay as the Republican leadership that Republicans are really fully operational at using this medium.
You say that the bond between the GOP and talk radio was cemented in 1994 in the midterm elections. Why?
That's right, because before then, it's really just marginalized figures in politics that understand the opportunity presented. Starts with far-right conservatives in the House who are the minority of the minority, so no one really cares what they think. And then it really includes candidate Bill Clinton, ironically enough, who, when he's hurting for money in the spring of 92, he really gets it and it really connects with the medium. Whereas, you know, George Herbert Walker Bush doesn't need it. But in 94, Republicans pulled a stunning upset. They take the House for the first time in 40 years, and talk radio was a huge help. And Limbaugh is made an honorary member of the freshman class, and he's invited to speak at the freshman orientation where he's mobbed like a rock star, you know, sign autographs and taking pictures and that kind of thing. And it really is the eureka moment where Republicans really jump fully on board.
One of the problems that comes up later in the Bush administration is, as you point out, talk radio played a huge role in the defeat of the immigration bill that George W. Bush wanted to pass through. Did they have a lot of legislative successes, if you think about it that way, that talk radio was able to kill things that they didn't like?
It's hard to, you know, put like a number on it, but, you know, talk radio is a very powerful negative in the policymaking process. And I don't mean that as like a moral judgment. I mean, as in killing things. It's a lot easier for talk radio to take advantage of the levers of power in Congress to kill a bill than it is for them to bring something across the finish line and deliver, you know, legislation. And especially over the last decade, they've had a lot of success at forcing Republicans to sort of resist the impulse to cut deals because they're worried about their next primary. Whereas, you know, when Limbaugh starts, most people are worried about general elections And they had the freedom, especially on low profile matters, you know, bills that, nobody ever hears about that don't get covered on the nightly news. They had the freedom to do what they thought was right for the country without worrying about electoral repercussions. And that's kind of changed in a world with not just talk radio, but then, you know, conservative cable news, which sounds a lot like talk radio, the conservative blogosphere, social media. It's really, really changed the legislative process.
I want to talk about the connection between talk radio and Fox News, because we were at a Trump rally in Cincinnati earlier in the summer, and a lot of the people that we spoke to there are getting their news from Fox News, or at least they told us that. This is Sean Hannity, one of the big Fox News hosts, also a talk radio host, last year celebrating the 30th anniversary of Rush Limbaugh's show.
He started what would now become a new media revolution in this country, one that radically would permanently alter the media landscape in America. And by the way, paved the way for people like me, the great one, Mark Levin, Laura Ingraham, and so many others.
You write about the fact that when Fox News was getting started, they actually paid Limbaugh to read ads that touted Fox's fairness.
Absolutely. And this was one of the most surprising things I found doing this research, because it came about by accident. You know, I'm just listening to one of the Limbaugh shows I was able to get my hands on. And he does this live read where he reads the commercial himself for Fox. And he's saying, you know, you've been frustrated. We've talked about the media bias. There's this new product out there, this new fair and balanced, you know, product, and call your cable company and tell them that you want to hear Fox News. And it shows that there's this synergy, that he not only innovates a programming type, this sort of conservative infotainment model that Hannity applies at night now, Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, folks like that. But he is helping to promote this, that there's an understanding that their audience is Limbaugh's audience. Those are our, you know, potential customers out there. And, you know, if you look at the shows, they use the exact same kind of programming model that he puts out there. It's fun. It's entertaining. It's combative. It's
Is it at the expense of Limbaugh, though? Has Fox News' rise hurt the influence of talk radio?
Not really. To some extent, it has hurt like the singularity of it. So if Republicans like in the 90s wanted to talk to their base, wanted to get a message out there, it sort of had to be talk radio. And with the rise of cable news, they have different options. But the thing is, most of the time, talk radio and cable news are almost invariably on the same page. And Limbaugh's show, in fact, actually drives a lot of what other conservative talk radio and even cable news is saying, because these guys are listening to him. So I don't think it's hurt his influence at all. And if anything, it's created an even bigger megaphone when they decide to go after a policy topic or go after a candidate, or in terms of sort of shaping the thinking on the right.
Let's bring it to today and the situation that exists now in this country with President Trump. You say talk radio didn't just stump for Trump, it created him. How much is Trump a product of talk radio?
I think a lot. In 1988, Donald Trump sort of floats himself as a vice presidential, you know, possibility. And President Bush, you know, is incredulous. You know, who is this guy? What credentials does he have? And that's the beginning of the arc of my book. And at the end of the arc is President Donald Trump. And what happens is a lot of people miss this in 2015, 2016. They say, well, you know, Trump's not a conservative, but he's tapping into the anger on the right that has been built up in part because of what hosts are sensing in their audiences and what they're stoking as well. There's this sense that Republicans just won't fight. The Democrats will go to war over anything, and they are always fighting and they're always winning because Republicans just roll over like a bunch of weak nothings. And Donald Trump comes along, and the one thing he won't ever do is he won't roll over. He sounds much more like people's favorite hosts than he does like Republican politicians. It's eerie to me how much people talking about Donald Trump, like at his rallies and stuff, sounded a lot like people talking about Rush Limbaugh to reporters in the early 90s. And that ethos, that talk radio ethos with Trump, you know, the one thing you can never say about him is that he's boring.
Well, and just to bring it back around to where we started with this, with Rush Limbaugh in the beginning, it was all about entertainment, entertainment, entertainment. And you're saying people are entertained by President Trump.
Yeah, they're entertained, they're engaged. You know, what talk radio is it's a show. It's a soap opera. And Donald Trump knew how to be the good guy, so to speak, in this world. Everything's black and white in his world. You're with him or you're against him. There's no real gray area. And that's the world of talk radio in a nutshell.
So if it's a show and if it's a soap opera, and yet it also has such influence and power in this country, What do you think about that?
That's the danger in all of this, that this is what I call infotainment, which is to say that when Limbaugh wakes up every morning, or Hannity, they say, how can I put the best show on today? The goal of the host is not journalism. And it's dangerous if the audience sees that as their news source. Because, you know, when Hannity says something that's not true, he says, well, I'm a talk show host or I'm an entertainer. Mm-hmm. He doesn't, you know, say, oh, I'm sorry, you know, we got the facts wrong. His show doesn't go through Fox News' editorial process. And that's dangerous because the more you have people who are thinking that's news, the more that you have Americans who are ill-informed and the more that Americans are retreating into echo chambers. We're sort of living into Americas. You know, if you ever have a chance to be in like a gym where somebody's got Fox on, CNN, and MSNBC on in the same hour, you watch a couple of minutes of it and you say to yourself, are these shows from like different planets or something? The danger is that to have a robust democracy, we have to be able to speak a common language and have a common base of facts, you know, to argue over. Instead, these products make us think that the other side is almost demonic, that they want to destroy America, they want to destroy and trample upon our values, and that's really dangerous.
That is Brian Rosenwald, whose new book is called Talk Radio's America, How an Industry Took Over a Political Party That Took Over the United States. Brian, thank you.
Jeremy, it's always my pleasure.